the Beat Red podcast, a podcast where we talk about all things embarrassing. We tell our stories, we tell your stories, and you call us and tell your stories. It's embarrassing all around. I'm Mary Kate.
And I'm Katie.
Let's turn Beat Red. How was your week? How's your week, Katie?
I did it. I always do it.
I wanted to ask you because you have the cool news.
I have a lot to say, so you do yours first because I do have a lot to say this week, which I normally don't.
The Four Seasons on Netflix.
And I don't know what that is.
Well, you don't have to, so go ahead.
What's it about?
It's just like, it hits so close to home for me for some reason. It's about people who are older than us.
Okay.
But they're all in these different relationships.
They're like Cocoon.
What? Cocoon has aliens in it.
It's older people. It's older people.
Yeah, but it's not.
I don't know why my mind just went there.
There's an egg that hatches in their pool. Remember how gross that was? Remember when the one of the players in that movie pulls his eyelid down and it's bright white light?
Ew.
I watched that too young. I think. Yeah. I was just like devastated by it.
The 80s ratings were really ridiculous.
They were so crazy. And then the lady, he's carrying her out of the pool because they were frolicking in the pool and it sucked all their energy out. Oh, yeah, my God.
That was super inappropriate to see.
It is. It's just more like, you know, it discusses stuff in relationships that I really relate to.
Is it a dramedy or drama? It's funny.
Tina Fey wrote it.
Oh, okay.
It's based on an Alan Alda movie that was made a long time ago. And it has Steve Carell and, oh my God, Will Forte.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Okay, I saw something about that. Okay, I need to watch
that. It's phenomenal. You're going to love
it. It's on Netflix?
Yeah, and it's, I think it's 8 episodes. They're each half an hour. So nice. It's really easy.
Okay, cool. I like that. Love
that. Now what's going on with you? You got a tattoo.
So much is going on. I know. I'm like, I actually have a lot to say today. So hopefully you guys don't care. Otherwise, you can just beat your head to the story.
Fast forward to the
end. Don't want to listen. But, one thing that you guys get to know first on here that I haven't shared publicly anywhere is that our offer was accepted on our dream house that we love on the East Coast. We have been stalking this house, like just watching it. It went off the market. They made repairs. It came back on. We swooped in and we got our offer accepted and we're so excited. I love it so much. It is a big, beautiful home. It is on an acre of land on the river with the pool and we cannot wait to show everybody like what I do with it. You know, like I'm so excited to revamp it and make it my own and get in there and get decorating and everything else. Like I'm filled with creativity that I've like felt very stagnant for a long time, like being in the same place. And this house feels magic and I'm very excited about it. So that's big thing number one.
And you also manifested it.
Manifested it, did completely. So two, I have to say thank you to Jack over at Otherworld. Like, if you guys don't listen to the Otherworld podcast, it is so good. But the host, Jack, who he's in LA too, he recommended two different things. I did both of them and I loved both of them. One that's like a little one that's an aside, the Monastery of the Angels. It's like this church in Hollywood that's not even open anymore, but they bake these nuns. Bake pumpkin bread, and it is so freaking good.
Oh my God.
And you can order the pumpkin bread online and go pick it up, which I did, and I have been devouring it. It is phenomenal. So thanks for that little rec aside.
I love that. I need to go.
And then he also recommended this psychic that probably a lot of people in Los Angeles have heard of, but her name is Wendy, and she just opened Pure Heart Collective on Sherman Oaks. So if you're a little woo-woo, if you're a little witchy, and you like this stuff like me, I was blown away. She's phenomenal. She's booked out till 2027, to be honest. Like, that's how popular she is. So she just opened this place, and there's a lot of other really good psychics there, too. I saw this other one, Love, who was amazing. But she ended up doing this, like, spiritual Sunday thing, and I signed up for it on a whim. I got a 15-minute reading with her. She blew me away, said things that were so specific. Like,
wow.
Not going to go into all the details on here, but I was very, like, blown away by her. And I definitely recommend checking her place out. In, I guess it's like Studio City Sherman Oaks. It's like right by Psychic Eye, if you know that, on Ventura.
I do know that. I called them a lot during the pandemic.
Right?
Yeah.
It's called Pure Heart Collective anyway. So go check it out if you're into that little witchy woo-woo stuff. And I got a tattoo. I know.
Yes.
There's so much this past week has been insane. We're literally doing an open house right now. Like while we're here, we're doing an open house. Anthony's taking pictures of us. I got the cutest tattoo.
I love it so much. I wish you could see it. I wish you were filming. I mean, it's so cool. You did see it. You did a reel, right?
His handle is tagged on my Instagram, so you can go find him. He's downtown at Tattoo Flash Events is the name of his shop. His name's Kaz, C-A-Z. And so it's Kaz Tattoo. You can go check him out. It's, again, linked on my Instagram. But he, like, specializes in Studio Ghibli, which I love. And my son is obsessed. Like, My Neighbor Totoro is his favorite movie. Aww. So I got a bunch of, like, Studio Ghibli, if you say Ghibli, whatever, characters.
Yeah, I don't
People
even
say
know
both ways. Oh, because technically, I mean, it's, okay, so technically the word means, like, desert wind. And it is, like, an Arabic word, but the creator's Japanese. And he also, like, based it around, it's like an Italian word, Ghibli, which is pronounced, you pronounce it with a hard G, but he says it with a soft J. And it's oh. like in American, you people say both. It's like whatever. So say it however you want. But anyway,
say whatever you want.
I love all the characters. If you like anime, Japanese, like anime and like any kind, like Studio oh. Ghibli or other things, like he's the best. So
what did
he did
Sasha
a custom
say?
One for me. He loved it.
Was he like, oh,
he loved it. Yeah. So oh cute. He's like, I want one. I was like, not yet, buddy.
Well, someday.
Not yet.
Someday.
But yeah. Okay. So that's
I
all the things.
It.
There's a lot
oh,
going on.
So much.
Very exciting. Yeah.
And you feel invigorated by the readings and like just heading into the future. Just this,
heading
this
into
is it.
The future. Yeah. It's so bittersweet. Cool. I definitely like bawled my eyes out in my car. I was telling you like to California by Phantom Planet, which is like the elder
so
millennial
funny.
Like anthem for California. I was like, oh my God, California. Yeah. It's I love it. I love California so much. So yeah, it's, you know, bittersweet, bittersweet.
Yeah.
But anyway,
yes.
Let's tell some
let's
stories.
Let's do it.
If you fast forwarded, here's where you want to push back.
Yes, okay? Here we are at the stories, but I hope you didn't fast forward.
Do you want to start? Do you want me to start?
What I
do you
can start.
Do? Okay, you can go for
okay,
it.
Okay, this is from Cora, and KL writes, I was training to be a hairdresser, and we had lots of clients that came into the school that were randomly assigned to us. This lady wanted her eyebrows waxed. I'd never done it before, but we had to do whatever they asked.
What?
No, that is
that's
such
bold
a
to take on
idea.
To have never done before.
Also, to go to a school that people are training to wax and you and it's your eyebrows.
Yeah, I wouldn't be like, let's just
I
give it a shot. Let's
eyes,
see what happens.
Baby.
Okay. Yeah, people are brave.
I mean, well, I found out she just wanted them arched a bit. So as I applied the wax, I foolishly pushed the paper down and the wax drifted up a bit. After I ripped it off, she barely had an eyebrow left. It was a look, and I had to do the other one. I did the same thing on the other one
oh,
and
no.
rip, same results. I may have had to tweeze a few strays to even it out. I gave her the mirror, and she freaked out, of course.
Yeah.
First of all, why didn't you you just did the other one?
You gave her the 90s Drew Barrymore.
You gave her the 90s Drew
you gave
Barrymore.
Her the
or
comma.
The clown. Like yeah. Or, you know, the what is it, silent film? Of the 1920s. Okay, so I gave her the mirror and she freaked out, of course. She then began praying, told me she was a female preacher, then decided she liked them.
Wait, she was going to pray her eyebrows back?
She was just praying.
She was like, God, like, please let me grow my eyebrows to my
face. Maybe this was meant to please. Be. Let me know. Show me a sign. And shockingly told me I was her new eyebrow girl.
What?
I was mortified, relieved,
happening?
And then weirded out. At least I learned what not to do next time. She paid the $2 it cost her. Okay, this is the whole
part. Wait, don't do it or do it because this woman's like, I love you. You're my eyebrow lady for life. She's like, I hate it. I'm freaking out.
She
wait,
prayed,
I love you. It's
and
forever.
Then it was
I prayed
like,
about it.
Changed it out. Changed it up for her, that prayer. But it was $2, Katie.
That's the deal. Like, that's the deal. I mean, what do you want for
$2? You're going to get your eyes waxed off. You're going to get everything waxed if you get paid $2
you
for eyebrows.
You're going to draw on for a while. I mean, I've been drawing mine. I plucked mine off in the 90s when I was 14. Oh. And, like, I hacked away at them with tweezers. They never grew back. My eyebrows were way bushier. If you see photos of me when I was younger, I had, like, beautiful eyebrows.
Oh, I did, too, as a
and
kid.
And I hacked away. They do the not grow
thing.
Back. And they are super
oh,
thin.
Great.
That's because they're filled in, girl. They are filled in. I don't give
is
a
this is your story.
No. Yeah. That's my story. I paid $2 to do this.
Oh, yeah, that was it. She just paid $2 and gave her a dollar tip, 50%.
Nice.
She made $3 that day.
All right.
$3.
That's rich. Okay, my first story comes from Emily, and she writes, a couple of the last episodes sparked a memory for me that I completely forgot about, so I had to write in and share it. I love
yes,
when that happens.
I love when that happens.
When I was about 16 years old, I worked at the local grocery store with a few of my friends from high school, including one guy who was a year younger than me. I thought he had a crush on me, and we flirted, but he never asked me out. This job enabled me to get my dream car.
Yeah,
I love
nice.
That. It was a red Mustang, and I drove way too fast in it. Remember how popular Mustangs
oh,
were?
Oh, yeah,
they
I love
the
Mustangs
best.
This day.
I was admittedly very reckless, young and dumb, and I couldn't stop speeding around in it. I should also note that about 2 weeks before I got this car, I wrecked my friend's parents' car.
Not good.
Like,
no.
Oh, shit.
That's a foreshadow. That's a foreshadow.
Honest. I had already gotten 2 speeding tickets in my car, and I knew that if I got one more, they would take my license away. Did that stop me from speeding?
What?
No.
Why?
No, it didn't.
What?
Because she was 16. She was a dum-dum.
She was a lead
I was
foot.
Definitely speeding around in my little car at 16, too.
Really?
For sure.
I was driving like a grandma.
But they do say, like, red cars get pulled over the most. Mm. So that
I've
was your first mistake, was getting that red car.
Yes.
Yep. One day, as I was speeding around, I heard the dreaded sound of a siren, and a cop pulled me over. He walked up to my window and asked if I knew why he pulled me over. Of course, I played dumb. I said, no, and tried to flirt my way out of it.
Oh, no.
He then sternly told me he had gotten reports about me. I panicked and went into a tizzy with a verbal diarrhea where I tattled on myself all about an earlier incident where I was tailgating someone, and I explained how it was actually their fault because she was going so slow.
She's just admitting.
He didn't know anything about what I had just accidentally volunteered and asked me to come with him and sit in the passenger seat of the police car.
What?
At this point, I was full on begging and crying. I was sure that not only was I losing my license, I was now getting arrested. He filled out a ticket and handed it to me. Through my tears, I blinked in disbelief at what I was reading. The ticket had one question on it. Will you go to the prom with Brody? Brody is the boy that I mentioned earlier that I work with, who is a year younger.
My God.
He's now on the speaker in the police car with a friend.
What?
And they are laughing hysterically. I turned beet red and was humiliated. I said, what? No way I'm going with you after all that.
Oh, my God. She turned him down.
But I was relieved that I wasn't getting arrested and also kind of impressed, and I did end up going with him.
Okay.
Promposals are a huge deal where I live, and this one was definitely over the top.
That was way over the top. Yeah. She got pulled over by a cop, and then he was like, you need to come sit in the passenger seat. And then she sits in the passenger seat, and then he's like, will you go to prom with Brody?
But the best part is, yeah, like, this is, like, obviously Brody
she's sobbing.
Either like it's like his brother or his uncle or
yeah.
a family friend or whatever.
Yeah.
So he like never really was pulling her over, and she's like volunteering all that information. She's like, and this is a stupid girl, and I was
telling
her, and like that wasn't my fault. Like so funny.
She's going so slow. As a grandma, I flicked her off. Okay, I flicked her off. Like so crazy.
He's like, he was just trying to be funny. He's like, I've heard reports about you, Miss. Like clearly, he didn't look at her up and see that she's actually like needs to be getting arrested.
Right. He's like, I actually have to call this
she's
in.
She's got so many tickets already, and is like literally speeding around tailgating people. And he's like just trying to be funny and being like,
so awkward.
Isn't that so
walking
funny?
With a sobbing girl to his front to like, yeah. Ask her if she'll go to prom with his friend.
Yeah. He was probably like, oh, shit, this went too far.
He's like, this is way too much.
At that point.
He shouldn't go to prom with this girl. Oh, that's a great story.
Isn't that funny?
Actually, that's really embarrassing.
I know.
It's really good. We don't have anything like that.
I know. So, like, all those prom stories that we told prompted it.
Yes.
Isn't that funny?
Oh, my gosh. That's so funny.
It's a random.
That's really good. And you know what? I kind of wish that I could go back in time and have someone ask me like that. Like, not like that. But, I mean, like. Pretty special. Like,
Promposals
make it special.
Weren't big at my school for sure. Like, that wasn't a thing. Like, they are now. And, like, I feel like this started in, like, the 2000s, right? Like, the early 2000s, it was, like, such a thing. Like, you have to top. You have to give the coolest, like, promposal. Like,
yeah
back then it was just like, you want to go to prom?
You want to prom me? Yeah. Like, right. Sure. Yeah. Great. We're going. Oh,
it
my
was,
God.
Yeah. That we got robbed. We got robbed in our promposals.
We did.
I got to tell you.
My boyfriend failed big time. But he was gay. So, okay, so here we go. Cora. Ingrid Halverson writes, it was in the elevator lobby on the floor of my office where a bunch of us were waiting to go home for the day. I'm sorry. I'm using an affected voice because it's so, this story needs it.
Okay.
We were all dressed in winter parkas and heavy coats, bundled with scarves and hats and gloves. As we waited for the elevator to arrive, one of my colleagues entered the lobby from behind where I was standing and said, Ingrid, what is that hanging from the back of your parka? It was a lacy black bra, size 40 double D.
Mm.
Snagged on the lining of my coat and hanging about 6 to 8 inches below the hem. So it's like it's a big, huge, enormous black
bra.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
On her hem.
But like also like a parka.
Yeah. Like, and she's just like, I imagine they're like bundling up to go.
It's freezing.
After their knitting club, right? Doesn't it sound like they have like all like scarves on and stuff. They're just like, gonna go home and make some tea and like I don't know.
She just got a big ass lacy bra just hanging down.
Lacy bra. I had done the laundry the day before, including washing and drying the parka. Oops. I scooped it up and stuffed it into a pocket, praying that no one else noticed. They did. The whole group saw it. I got ribbed and inspected for Erin underwear for weeks afterwards. And then she gives some advice, Katie, and I think this is good. This is one of the reasons I like the story. Mm-hmm. She writes, embarrassment doesn't kill you. You just want to die. Put on a bold face and carry on.
You got to carry on. What else can you do? There's a lot of those laundry stories. We hear a lot of those. People who, like, wash their clothes and then static cling have, like, underwear, a thong stuck to their pants. Or
like a thong stuck to, like, the change of clothes for their kids, like, nursery school.
Or they're, like, out in public and walking, and a thong will just – that was stuck inside their pants will just come out the pants leg. Like, we hear those, like, a lot. Like, there's a lot of those stories. Laundry will get you.
Laundry will get you.
Don't do your laundry and you're fine. See?
Bring some static guard.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, this next story comes from Megan. She sent me this on Instagram. She's such a brilliant storyteller. I loved it. And here's her story.
I can't wait.
So it's fall break, freshman year of college, and everyone's back in our hometown trying to pretend like we're thriving. I was nervously sipping, chugging a vodka slushy hybrid from the local fast food joint. I'm like, that's so great. Like, she got a slushy and then, like, added vodka.
Okay, like, I was like, whoa, they sold that?
Classic. Basically a hangover in a cup. On my way to a party at some guy's house, classic anxious me shows up and gets drunk. Like the kind of drunk where you forget how gravity works. I'm like, girl, I've been there so many times.
Me too.
Girl, I know that. I took one step off the porch, literally one, and boom, twisted ankle, body down. I panicked and tried to stand up fast because everyone was outside. Plot twist. I had broken that ankle.
Oh, my God.
My leg was like, nah, girl, and collapsed on the other one.
Your leg was like,
guess what? Broke that, too.
Oh, no.
2-for-1 special, no. Baby. No, I've never been a featherweight. So when the guys tried to help me up, I screamed, get off me.
No, you didn't.
Like I was in a soap opera.
That is amazing.
Get off me.
She's got two, like, twisted to the, like, awkward side.
She got
ankles.
Two busted tires, and she is down for the count.
She can't get up.
No.
And, but she just told people not to help her up.
Remember we had another story like that, too, where that girl, like, fell down the stairs and, like, broke her ankles, too? Like, that is so crazy, though. Like, the two busted, like, picturing those just, like, busted ankles.
It's disgusting. It's, like,
terrible.
Out of, like, a Stephen King novel.
It's so terrible. I ended up crawling to the car like some kind of vodka-fueled crab and slammed into a boat along the way.
What?
Because, of course, there was a boat because I live in a cartoon.
How's she going to drive home?
She said I scrambled like a vodka-fueled crab. That is so funny.
She was going fast.
And she ran into a boat along the way.
How does that I wish I could see this on tape.
Next thing I know, I wake up at a friend's house with my legs propped up on the arms of the couch like two busted baguettes. They were huge. I called my mom because my dad, who is, and this is important, a police officer, was out of town.
Same
underage
guy.
Drinking and self-destruction, not something I wanted on his radar.
No.
My mom rolls in like an angel with a rolling desk chair and wheels me to the car.
What a sweetheart.
At the ER, surprise, both legs broken. Surgery booked for next week.
Both legs? Or broken?
Like she broke her ankles. Yeah, like both ankles. Yeah.
She had to get surgery.
Isn't that terrible? Just one little tiny move, just walking off the porch and one ankle broke and then she landed just the wrong way on the other one. And broke too. It's so horrible.
Awful.
It's so terrible. It is so terrible.
And then she ran
poor
into
thing.
A boat.
Like a crab. She crab walked into a boat.
Oh my God.
Oh, and just for spice, my cousin, who I hadn't seen in 15 years, just happened to be in town and had to visit me in the hospital like I was a Victorian invalid.
Oh my God.
Cut to recovery. I'm laid up at my parents' house, legs in casts, doped up, eating Jell-O. My very concerned roommate decides this is the time to call my parents and tattle on me about all my partying. Thanks, narc.
Whoa.
My dad's response? Not grounding. Not yelling. No. He punishes me by making me use my great-grandmother's motorized wheelchair to get around town.
That's so funny. To get around town?
It was beige.
Oh,
it was loud. It was hideous. One day, it broke down in the middle of campus, and my friends had to push both me and the wheelchair like we were in some kind of slow-motion chase scene from a sad documentary. Another time, I got stuck under the rails on a wheelchair ramp. I was just chilling there like a broken down Roomba while people walked past me pretending not to see the human emergency in front of them. My phone had flown somewhere during the crash, so I just sat there like, this is my life now.
This is my life now on Earth.
Eventually, one guy stopped, handed me my phone, and I nearly cried. Dad fixed the chair, but put the controls on backwards and accidentally cranked the speed to rocket launcher.
Wait, what?
I had to remember that pushing left meant going right and that pressing too hard could launch me into another time zone.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, I survived. I'm seeing a friend from that night tonight, and almost 20 years later, she still texts me, don't break your legs. Honestly, fair.
That's so funny.
Isn't that such a great story?
That's such a great story. Beautiful writing. And beautiful I love, love all that imagery.
Vodka-fueled crab is my favorite thing ever.
I also like two busted baguettes. That's so funny.
Good.
Wow. And you know what? Good punishment. Good punishment from the dad.
But I think vodka-fueled crab's the name of this episode, right? It's got
to
be.
That has to be. So good. We nailed it. Oh, my God. That's I feel so bad. I hope she can walk.
Yeah. I hope no, she's walk. All fixed up now. She is. She's all fixed up.
Just wow.
She got that surgery. Don't break your legs, girl.
Yeah, don't break your legs. Okay. Whoa. All right, well, that's hard to follow. This is from Reddit, and Ravenshare Express tells a story. And I personally feel like if I, like, I've been waiting for the story because I feel seen. I feel seen.
Okay.
This happens to me all the time. Okay.
Pee your pants story.
No, no, no. This is, like, not as fun as that. Okay. So my significant other and I bumped into an acquaintance one day, and we made the usual small talk. We asked her what she's been up to lately, but I didn't quite hear her response. So I did that awkward nod, smile, and said, oh, all right, cool. But my significant other responded solemnly, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Oh, no.
My stomach dropped. We exchanged a few pleasantries before we parted ways. The second she left, I asked my significant other what she had said because I didn't catch it. She had said her husband divorced her. And my dumbass just smiled and wide and responded, oh, all right, cool.
I thought someone died at least, so that's a little bit better.
Divorce.
But yeah, that's not, she was probably like, you fucking bitch.
Yeah, she's like, what? What are you talking about?
Excuse
I'm
me?
Devastated.
Yeah.
I don't
what?
Have, yeah, I haven't left my house in weeks. That's pretty,
she was
pretty
like,
sad. That happens
thanks.
To me all the time.
She's like, God, you better check your wife. I think she wants a divorce. She's yes. like, oh, cool. You got divorced. You could do so you can do that? That's a thing.
Yeah. Like, oh, I know. I know. She like looks at your significant other, like, what the hell?
But she's like, you're next, buddy.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
She's like,
it's very clear you're next.
All the signs are here. All the signs are here. Oh yeah. That happens to me all the time, like almost every day, where I can't hear what someone says. And so I'm just like, uh-huh. Wow. But I don't know what they've just, like, they could have disclosed, like, the code to some kind of, like, bank account that I'm welcome to all the money to, but I'll never know.
Or they could be telling you someone died, and you're like, cool.
Yeah.
That's
like,
great. Mm-hmm. You're smiling. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I guess you just always have to kind of be neutral.
It has to be neutral. Yeah.
They're like, she's a tough,
a lot of people.
Hard one to, tough nut to crack.
Yeah,
she's a hard
like,
one to read. Yeah.
Okay. Cards what's, close to the vest.
Yeah. What's she doing there?
I don't think I'm going to tell her anything else that's personal. She does not care.
She, like, doesn't react. It's
she's
weird.
Not a good friend. She's a terrible friend.
Okay, my next story comes from Bethany, and she writes, I work in an office where it's pretty much all women. There's a couple of guys, but none that I've ever been attracted to. Last month, we got a new hire in the office, and he was one of the hottest guys I've ever seen. Like, so hot that you can't even talk to him without sweating and feeling completely self-conscious.
Oh my God.
We'll call him Chris. Okay.
Okay, Chris.
I'm married and in my 40s and he's in his 20s, so it's not like I'm really trying to make anything happen. I just couldn't stop talking about how hot he was to everyone in the office.
Oh, my God.
Including the other two guys that worked there. I could tell one of the guys was getting jealous that Chris was getting so much attention, but I thought it was funny. One day I was in the lunchroom with a few coworkers and I was going on and on about what he was wearing that day and again how hot he was. Then one of my male coworkers loudly said, we get it. You think Chris is hot. God, Bethany, get over it. At the same time he was saying that, Chris came walking into the lunchroom.
Oh, no, no.
And it was like time stopped. He sort of slow motion heard everything, looked at me, and I turned bright red, and he sort of just backed out of the room.
That is so funny.
I was mortified and have refused to make eye contact or talk about him since.
Also, that... sucks for your husband. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's like, but I think that it's good. It's justified to say that that loud and say, we get it. We like, cause you can't, that would make, wouldn't that make you feel bad if someone's sitting around you that you work with and they're like, that girl's so hot. No, I mean, like, did you see what she was wearing today? And you're just like, had your apron on, just like,
I think it's hilarious. I think it's so funny that she's just like,
she's just going
talking about him. Like, he's super hot.
Yeah.
And she got busted.
She got busted.
She got caught.
Sexual harassment.
She got caught. And I love that he just like Homer Simpson into the bush.
Yeah.
Like, just
yeah.
Backs. I mean, yeah. What do you do? You've like walked into that.
What
it's
would
so
you
awkward.
Do if you walked into that?
I'd probably do the same thing. Maybe just a fast flip around, like,
you know,
loop out of there. Or be like, oh, okay. Like, I mean, what do you say?
I'm very flattered. Yeah. That's what you should say. I'm very flattered.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. I would just be like, did you guys hear that bird outside? It's just so loud. I'll be back. And like, just something stupid. And then she would never talk about
it outside.
Like, whoa, a bird just hit the window. Did you see that? I gotta go.
Did you guys see that cute little fox playing with the dust, dust bunnies for that episode?
Oh my God, it's so funny.
That's a callback. You better listen to them all so you can find out what we're talking about.
We need more workplace stories.
Yeah. Send us your workplace stories. There has to be more.
Oh, yeah.
People work, right? That's a thing.
Oh my gosh.
Not in LA, but there's other places that have offices,
really,
right?
Really hard work.
There's offices somewhere.
Yeah.
Wherever you are. Tell us your office stories.
I work really hard.
Did you get busted by a hottie at work? Tell us.
Okay. Well, my last story is Sabres from Reddit. And Ickham Museum says, I used to be a spotlight operator at a cabaret venue. I confidently assumed no one could see me 40 feet up in the glass box behind the big lights.
Oh, no. No.
So when I wasn't needed for one of the dance numbers, I danced along with the dancers.
Oh, thank God. I thought he was going to be like masturbating or something. <in there.
laughs> Yeah, like plucking hairs out of his balls. It was shake, rattle, and roll every day for 6 months. So you're on stage.
Where do they work at Johnny Rock?
That's a cabaret dance. Like shake, rattle, and roll. Maybe their boobs were out. And the rattle part was their hips and the roll was like their, like, I don't know, junk.
It's a cabaret show?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a weird cabaret choice.
Shake, rattle, and roll. Oh, my God. So for 6 months, they're up there. Just Ickham's up
he
there.
He knows the choreography.
Doing it,
yeah.
Which I think is really sweet to think about. The day I left, the compere called me on stage to receive card and flowers, etc. I looked up at the spotlight box and waved at the other guy, who I could see perfectly well. And the audience followed my gaze. So everyone could see him do that every single night.
He did it every night.
He did it every night for 6 months.
I mean, I feel like that's like part of the show. Like they loved it, you know? Like,
well, if you're a dancer.
Him up there like getting
the actors on stage could see him. So imagine you're doing the choreography, you look up and you see this person being like, shake, roll, roll, and like doing it up on the grate. And you're like, oh my God, what's my time?
You know,
it
is funny that you think you're hidden and that you're doing something that you would never do. And you're embarrassed that you weren't embarrassed because you thought no one could see you.
Exactly.
And then you realize you're not invisible.
They're like, there's a reason you're the spotlight.
There's a spotlight and you're super obvious. We can all see you.
So he wrote, the penny still didn't drop until about a year later when I was thinking back. It looked as if I was badly mocking and distracting the dancers in front of 1,000 people every show.
No
one said a word.
Oh.
So he thinks that they thought he was making fun of them, which
they're like, that guy's an asshole.
Yeah, they're like, get him fired. There was like maybe a campaign. It still gives me hot waves of shame when I think of it. And it was 45 years ago. It was 45 years ago and he still thinks about him being like, shake, rattle and roll.
Buddy, let it go. No one else is thinking about you. No. I promise you. No one remembers
they would have fired you.
Terrible cabaret show that they went to. Like that. Just kidding. I'm sure it was great. I'm sure it was great. Do you know these people?
Like it was me.
Just kidding. I'm sure it was fantastic. But literally no one cares or remembers. So let it go. Just let it go. Let your shame go. Doesn't it feel good to let it go? You got to let it go. Okay, our last story comes from Liv. You guys know her. She's a repeat storyteller. She has told all of those crazy stories about her grandfather, two girls, one cup. the parrot. She's had a lot of, like, iconic stories.
Yes.
So this one is a little more tame, but much more relatable and I think pretty funny. Like, we've
excited.
All been embarrassed by our kids. And so there's a little clue for you.
Oh, yes. This is going to hit home for me.
All right, here we go. This is a story that happened with my stepdaughter when she was 3 that left me embarrassed. This story took place when my husband, stepkids who were 3, and my 2-month-old daughters traveled to my home country in 2011 for my grandparents' wedding anniversary.
Aww.
Everything started off great. My grandparents were excited to see their new grandchildren. My nephews were less than enthusiastic about their new cousins. Go figure, the little shits were six at the time. Oh. And my brothers, along with my sister-in-law, were also happy to see their new nieces. I took one of my daughters to be changed, and my stepdaughter wanted to go be my helper. While I was changing my daughter, my stepdaughter said that she had to go potty, and I told her she's a big girl and she can use the potty all on her own. A few moments later, she emerged from the bathroom, and she's holding a piece of toilet paper and says, "Mom, look what I found."
Oh, no.
"It's the corn we had on the plane."
God.
Your face is so funny.
Oh, my God. I choked.
It was in my poop, still intact.
Oh, no, no.
I immediately gasped and said to go flush it. She must have looked in the toilet after using the bathroom and fished out the pieces of corn.
Oh, my. How old is she again?
Three.
Oh, no.
I proceeded to explain to her how corn is the one food that you can eat that will always come out the same way it goes in, to which she said, "I'll never look at corn the same way again." During dinner, my grandfather looked at my stepkids and asked, "What's something you learned recently?"
Oh, no.
My stepson says, "I learned how to do armpit farts," and then proceeded to show everyone that he
really
earned a smile from my grandfather. You know, every kid, when they learn that, it's like one of the best days of their lives, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like,
especially, yeah.
I'll still do it. It's pretty great. My grandfather looked at my stepdaughter. "How about you, sweetie?" I can tell she's smiling because of what I had just taught her an hour ago.
No.
And I'm literally thinking, please no, please no, please no. Whatever you say, don't say that.
Say that.
My stepdaughter smiles and says, "That corn will always look the same on the plate when it goes in your tummy as it does coming out number two." Everyone paused, and before I can say anything, my grandfather roared into laughter and said, "Yeah, it sure does." I was so embarrassed, and my grandfather then added insult to injury by saying, "Your stepmommy learned that at your age, too."
Oh, my God.
I excused myself, blushing from embarrassment. These days, whenever I feel like I want to tell my stepdaughter an embarrassing story from her younger days when it's just us in the car, that's the one I tell her, and she says, "Ew, Mom, I don't check for that anymore."
Oh, I love that.
Corn.
Yeah, corn.
Corn.
Have it for dinner. It's corn season.
It's what's for dinner.
See, corn is what's for dinner.
That's our show.
That's our show.
We hope you loved it. If you did, please tell a friend and rate, review, and subscribe. It helps us move up the charts. So get those reviews on there. Tell us that you love us. Give us 5 stars and write us a review on Apple. Like, if you're on Spotify, you can just rate. You don't review, but yeah.
If you're listening, though, if you're listening more than once, please write us a review.
And tell your friend. Tell your
friend. And tell your friends.
We're begging and we're begging. We're begging. We're crying. Don't arrest us. Just go write a review, okay?
Yeah, please.
And if you have a story that made you turn beet red, you can email us at beetredpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you want to buy us a coffee, you can go to our Patreon page, which is listed in our show notes. And if you can't beat them,
join them. See you next week.